Good morning, everyone. Our weekly shiur from Maseches Tainis is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their dear son Yomi Yosef Menachem Zichrono Lebracha Ben Gershom. He grew up here in our shul. The shiur is Le'iloi Nishmaso, and the weekly delicious breakfast is Le'iloi Nishmas Yosef Yitzchak Ben Yehuda Leib Zatzal, and the Refuah Shleima for Shalom Tzvi Elimelech Ben Malka. Okay. So, welcome everyone. We are on the very bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis to pick up on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And essentially, the Gemara is in the midst of analyzing the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek provides for us the text for all of the tefillos that were recited as the fast days intensified because they were unsuccessful at appealing to the Ribbono Shel Olam in order to provide the necessary rains. And as the Mishnah explains, we just go back to the Mishnah for 1 second, I'm Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah said, when you start adding all of these brachos, so what do you add on them? The Mishnah said, Mosef Alein Od Sheish, another 6 brachos. What are those brachos? Zichronos V'Shofros. You add the brachos of Zichronos and Shofros. Zichronos, talking about the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers and is cognizant of and engages all of the different actions and behaviors of Klal Yisrael. Shofros, manifesting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world as a melech, as a coronating king. And then we have a few additional brachos as well, and those reference certain prakim in Tehillim, which I'm sure are very familiar to us, because those are the prakim that we often recite when we are saying Tehillim for a tzara. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that we are mashlim these brachos, we are chosem these brachos, we finish them with also a very particular formulation. The first one we finish with Misha'ana is Avram Bahara Moriah, Hu Ya'ana Eschem V'Yishma Bekol Tzaka Seichem Hayom Hazeh Baruch At Hashem Goel Yisrael. And this discussion is shown, is that an extra one, is that the first one? On the second one, Mishanas Avasen al Yamsuf, Yishba Kotzakos and Yom Baruch Atosh Zocher Nishkachos. This third one, Mishanas Yoshua Begilgal, and then the fourth one, Mishanas Shmuel Bamitzvah, Hu Ya'ane Eschem, Yishma Kotzakos Seichem. That's an important formulation. That he who answered Shmuel in Mitzvah, he should answer us, that he heard the call of our tze'aka, of our cries, ayom hazeh, on this day, Baruch Atah Hashem shomea tze'aka, should hear our cries. And the fifth one, Misha'ana Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, Hu Ya'ane Eschem V'Yishma B'Kol Tzaka Seichem, ayom hazeh, Baruch Atah Hashem shomea tefila. Okay, so now let's go back to the Gemara, on the very last line. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Lo Haya Tzarech Lomer Zichronos. It's not actually proper to include Zichronos in the formulation of the Shmona Esrei for these Tanesim. What? Amar Ravada de Min Yafo, says Ravada from Yafo, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? That we don't include Zichronos. Lepisha ein omrim Zichronos v'shofros, these additions of Zichronos and Shofros, they are only inserted into the Shmona Esrei, Ela b'Rosh Hashanah, only on Rosh Hashanah, V'yovlos, and on the Yom Kippur of a Yovel, u'v'sha'as milchama, and at a time of milchama. Rashi quotes the pasuk, ki savo milchama ba'artzechem, al atar atar eschem. Then Rashi says, v'lo yadinon mina isparish to omer brachos, u'psukei machiyos u'chronos v'shofros b'sha'as milchama. Rashi says, I'm not exactly entirely sure what the source of this notion is, that a shas milchama is a time where we would include Zichronos and Shofros, but we can imagine that all of these are points of time or circumstances where the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present for Klal Yisrael, and whether or not that's ultimately going to result in the success of Am Yisrael is a very urgent and a very serious and a very pronounced concern. And so therefore, Zichronos and Shofros, these tefillos that essentially try to access a higher dimension of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of tefillah. So these are not just bakoshos. Zichronos and Shofros frame our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's a different type of tefillah. It's not just asking God for things. If you look through Zichronos and Shofros, you'll see there's actually very little of asking God for things. It's all sorts of psukim and tefillos that define our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is an affirmation of God's role in the world that is true all year round. But as subjects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rulership, it is something that we bring into consciousness and into the presence of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because when it comes to the Shas Hadin, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment of us, these are elements and dimensions of our relationship with Him that we want to bring forth, and that we want to be part of the larger context of that din. Malchios, the fact that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a Melech and what that means in our life, the fact that Zichronos, that we know that. We don't have to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and give us a year of din, a year of punishment, and behave like a melech for us to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech. We can do that without a harsh din. That's what Malchios is. It's showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we recognize. We are your Am, and melech velo Am, or your nation, you're our melech. Zichronos, we don't try to hide. There's an authenticity here. There's a sincerity here. There's a transparency here. We recognize you're the melech malchei amlochim. You, Zocher Kal and Yishkachos, we put it all out in front of you. But Shofros, we also recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this declarative, manifesting presence in the world, in our lives, and all of that becomes a reality. We don't need you to affirm that reality through the way in which you, through Hashkacha, give us or don't give us things. That all exists here. Now what we need is everything Shefa and Bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we continue to live our lives in that context. That's the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's what we're doing. We're not just davening extra, more words. It's supposed to be a transformative experience. We're supposed to become different people. We're supposed to develop a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So we could understand how that's true on Rosh Hashanah, how that's true on the moment of Yovel, which is also a very accentuated moment of renewal for Klal Yisrael, a renewal of the way in which we relate to the land, and Shas Milchama, which is of course a Shas HaKosher for Klal Yisrael's success. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't show us through the Milchama that you're the Melech. We got it. We know it. We're there. Now help us be your nation by giving us Hatzalah and Hatzlacha in this Shas Milchama. Al Rishonahu Omer Misha Anas Avraham. So now the Gemara makes reference to all of those endings to the different tefillos. Tana. So we learned, Yesh machlifin se'aka le'eliyahu v'tefilo l'shmuel. There are those that flip the formulations and attribute se'aka to Eliyahu. In other words, Rashi, Amisha ono es Eliyahu chosim shomeat se'aka, which is the one that the Mishnah had for Shmuel, v'tefilo l'shmuel. And the formulation of tefila, that would go to Shmuel. So, Bishlam Agabi Shmuel, I understand, says the Gemara, why we would attribute tefila to Shmuel, ksiv beit tefila, because we have viksiv beit se'aka. With regards to the story of Shmuel in Mitzpeh, we have both the formulation of tefila and the formulation of se'aka. Se'aka, Mefarshim say, is a more intense formulation than tefila, right? Tefila reflects more of a, you know, of expression, of words. Tzaka is a primordial cry, right? So it's a more intense, a more visceral type of. So that language exists. Elagabi Eliyahu, but when it comes to Eliyahu, tefila ksiv, it says tefila tzaka lo ksiv. But there is no language of tzaka with regards to Eliyahu. He's standing on Har HaKarmel trying to disprove the veracity of the Nevi'ei Abal in front of Klal Yisrael, right? At the big showdown, at that epic moment where Eliyahu is trying to, you know, is trying to demonstrate the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the presence of God. So it says tefila ksiv, but tze'aka lo ksiv doesn't say tze'aka. So how could you attribute the word tze'aka to the Misha Ana by Eliyahu? So says the Gemara, aneni Hashem aneni, the language that Eliyahu expresses in his appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam to come and confirm the nevuos of Eliyahu, in contrast to the Nevi'ei Abal, Eliyahu says, aneni Hashem, aneni. So that is a lashon se'aka. That's not just a redundancy. That's not just poetic. It's not a parallelism. It's aneni Hashem, aneni. It's a repetition that connotes a more emotional scream, a more emotional cry. And therefore, we could use the lashon of se'aka. I once heard that the double lashon of aneni, Hashem aneni, is that Elio is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aneni, answer me, and then aneni, also allow the Jewish people who are sitting here, who witness that answer, to internalize it as a confirming reality. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does show his face to the Jewish people, and nevertheless, we don't get it. We don't pay attention. We don't watch. We don't internalize, or we allow it to dissipate. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, many missiles will fall on Israel. Very few people will be injured. That's aneni. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, I protect you. I'm there for you. There's a presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this land. But sometimes people can look at that and say, no, you know, we have good technology, and we have a great army, and it's really good luck, and it's really right. So aneni Hashem, aneni. He wants, he's trying to accomplish two things. He's trying to actually win this fight, but he also wants that Klal Yisrael should internalize what's going on at the same time. Ala Shishis Uamar Mishana is Yona, Ala Shvias Uamar Mishana is David. So the sixth bracha you say, Mishana is Yona, Anavi, and on the seventh you say, Mishana is David. Michli says the Gemara, Yona, Basar, David, Vishlomo. It really, if we were going in chronological order, it should be the opposite, because Yona comes after David and Shlomo. Havi my time on Makdim Le Bereisha. Why is it that we put them first? Why is it that we put Yona first and David and Shlomo second? Mishum Deboy Lemichtam Mirachim Ala Oretz. Because the chronology here is not as important as the precision of the formulation in the tefillah itself. And that is that we want to culminate this tefillah with the words Mirachim al Ha'aretz, which is from the time of David and Shlomo, which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually having Rachamim on the land itself. And since, at the end of the day, that's what this whole tainus is about, so therefore, we want to conclude on that, even though it disrupts the chronological momentum of these different periods of Jewish history that are referenced throughout these tefillos. Tana Mishum Sumchos. Sumchos had an entirely different formulation of that last bracha. Amru, they would say, Baruch Mashpil Haramim. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who is Mashpil, who throws down those who are high. So what does that mean? Very often, we work the land, we plow the land, we go to our office, we get our paycheck, and we have a sense of Kolchi v'otzim yadi, that this is all because of us. So what is the restraint of rain supposed to accomplish? It's supposed to remind us, it's supposed to jar us from that complacency and allow us to recognize that we're not really in control, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately the one in control. You could plow this land from here to tomorrow. You could plant and you could do all the different stages of agricultural development. You could do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, if there's no water, there's no water. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that, right? You could irrigate the fields from the rivers, but the rivers will dry up too eventually, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that there's no rain, then there's no rain. So, Baruch Mashpil Haramim, what is that? It's recognizing the value of this punishment. What this punishment accomplishes is it is Mashpil Haramim. It lowers those, it humbles those whose haughtiness is an attitude that they have towards their life in this world. So by recognizing the purpose of the punishment, by recognizing the impact of the punishment, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then see to it that it ends, and that we can then move on with the divine intervention of a renewal of our reign. Shalosh Tanios Arishonos. Okay, now the Mishnah said something very interesting. The Mishnah said that in the first three fasts, Anshe Mishamar Misanim Velo Mashlimin. So we know that the year was divided up into 24 Mishmaros. We're going to have a keynote about the different Mishmaros on Tisha B'Av, if we have Tisha B'Av. And we're going to talk about the fact that each 2 weeks was assigned a different group of families from the Kahuna, and this was a very well-oiled machine. And you were part of a larger Mishmar, and each Mishmar was divided into a Beis Av. That group, the Beis Av group, that family, or groups of families, they were the ones responsible for the Avoda in the Mishkan on a particular day. So the Mishmar got a week, and the Beis Av got the particular day in that week. So the Gemara says that the Gemara is discussing that's a big yontif to have that opportunity to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So that conflicts with the overall tone of the experience of a tainis. And so therefore, as the tanesim increase with intensity, we bring in the kohanim more and more. We allow the tanesim to pierce that sense of elation that characterizes the experience of the mishmar. But in the initial phases, we have them fast, but we don't have them complete the fast. We have them do, you know, not the whole way. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, says the Rabbanon, Yivnei ma omru anshe mishmar mutarin lishtos yayin belelos. Why is it that we allowed the anshe mishmar, the ones who know that they're within their weeks of service, we allow them to drink wine at night, aval lo bayamim, but they're not allowed to drink wine at all during the day. Why? Even though they're not necessarily the ones who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash that particular day. The Beis HaMikdash, just so that we understand, the Avodah was an entirely dry experience, right? It is absolutely prohibited to do the Avodah while you are under the influence of alcohol at all. Wine played a role in the Avodah, Nisuch HaYayin, but the actual service of the Kohen is absolutely not permitted to do with wine at all.
Nothing to do with the fast.
So nothing to do with the fast. This is a general din. So says the Gemara, Avalo b'yomim, but not during the daytimes. Why? Shema techabed al-avoda al-anshei beisav. Because maybe it'll be a particularly busy day, right? A lot of people have karbonos that day, and so the beisav was overwhelmed. They can't handle all of it. V'yavo v'yisayeyu lem, and they would need other families of Kohanim who are on deck, who are, on the waiting list, who are going to serve the next day, so they may be called upon. So since they may be called upon, they're not allowed to drink wine during the day. They are allowed to drink wine at night. What about the anshei beis av, the people who are actually serving that day? They can't drink wine in the daytime or the nighttime. Mivnei shasukin tamid ba'avoda. Because they are constantly involved in the experience of the avoda. So some Rishonim say, and the avoda had role at night also, the hector chalav and veivarim could be done at night, and therefore they could not go ahead and drink at night. And some say, no, that even for the beisav, the nighttime was a gzeira to the daytime, that you shouldn't end up being drunk for the daytime. Achlokas Rishonim, why that would be. Either that would be because we would not have access to Kohanim that we could use, or that might be because they might actually end up doing the Avodah while still intoxicated, and that would invalidate the Avodah, and that would also cause tremendous problems, as we'll see soon. Mikan Amru, Kol Kohen, Shemaker, Mishmarto, Umishmeres, Beisav. From here we see that any Kohen that's Makir his Mishmeres and his Mishmeres Beisav, so let's say Yitz Weiss, he has a, he knows. He knows from what family of kahuna he comes, right? And he knows what week of the year that family had the mishmar, and he knows what day within that week his family served in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, kol ha-kohen, any kohen, shemakir mishmar tu mishmeres beisav shelo, v'yodeya shebate avosav kivuim sham, and he knows when the Beis Av was kavua, osar lishtos yayin kol oso hayom. You're not allowed to drink wine that entire day. And Rashi says, Kohen Bizman Hazeh. We're talking about not only Bizman Beis HaMikdash, Bizman Hazeh. Sorry, Sean, what did you ask?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Bizman Hazeh. Why are we worried Bizman Hazeh? What are we worried about? What are we worried about? Oh, Morty wants the Beis HaMikdash. He wants Mashiach right away. He doesn't want to wait, right? So he knows where he went to summer camp. So he wants mama, she's ready to go. So the Mashiach could come at any moment. Beis HaMikdash could be built at any moment. We can't have Yitz inebriated on his day of Beis Av. Maybe that'll be the day that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. He'll be called upon to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And here it is. He's drunk out of his mind. So that's terrible. So b'makir mishmar tov, b'eino makir mishmar es Beis Av. Let's say Yitz knows his mishmar, but he doesn't know the precise day. So then, but he knows exactly when they were koveya. So aser lishtos yayin kol oso shabbos. Then Yitz cannot drink wine that entire week. Because, as Marty said, maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and any one of those days could be the day. He just doesn't know the exact day. The Achorim discussed, why don't we just treat this as a suffix, right? With Rov, right? They discussed the Gemara in Shabbos, that if you don't know what day is Shabbos, do you treat every day like Shabbos? The Gemara says you count 6 days, and you count that day as Shabbos. Why isn't each day a suffix d'oraisa? It has to do with how we treat Sveikos. Sveikos generally mean, not that we're in doubt about what's happening, but we're looking at a substance, and we're in doubt as to the status of that substance. A doubt over whether or not something will or will not occur does not compile all of those sveikos into a larger entity upon which we could then apply the halachos of sveikos. So therefore, kolos of Shabbos, eno makim mishmar to mishmar space avshalo. Let's say Yitz does not know what mishmar he's in, and he does not know what Beis Av he's in. Is that the case?
That's the case.
That is the case. He does not know. So Yitz, Shabbosai, but he knows, Shadir Shabbosai v'kubu and Sham, but he knows that they had some week, he knows he's a Kohen, Asar Lishtos Yayin, Kol Hashana. That's it. He cannot drink wine the entire year, because the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt, he might have to do the Avoda any day. It could be a potential day of Avoda, and therefore, he would have to go ahead and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe Omer, so comes along Rebbe, and he says, Omer Ani, Asar Lishtos Yayin La'olam. Really, I would say that it's usher for Yitz to drink wine ever. Ever. Yitz would be a walking dry person, right? That's it. He's done. Ever. Aval ma'e'ese, but what could we do? Shetaknoso, kilkoloso, because the takona has been mekulkol. After all, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and it has not happening so simple. It's not happening so easily. It's not happening tomorrow. And so therefore, it's not, this takana no longer applies. The Rambam writes in the Yad HaChazaka that conclusion is the halachic conclusion, assuming you really don't know the Beis Av. But if you do know the Beis Av, then even bizman hazeh, these dinim would apply. Amar Abai says, Abai, kaman shasua inna kahani chamra kerebi. How could any kohanim drink today from at all because of this concern? They must follow Rebbe. Rebbe says, taknoso mekal koso. So this is an interesting discussion, because the original concern here was Shema Yabane Beis HaMikdash, right? That's what Mori said. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And we know that we have all sorts of takanos that assume the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, right? Many. We've been discussing in the Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai, the whole takana of how we operate Bizman HaZeh with Chadash and Yoshan is all under the possibility that that afternoon the Beis HaMikdash shall be rebuilt. We learned in the Daf HaShavua, Maseches Beitza, right? There were halachic ramifications about what to do with that Beitza that was born on one day and on another day. What happens if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? You won't know what to do with the egg, right? We like to have in our consciousness that the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt at any moment. So the Mefarshim discussed, like, why suddenly, you know, Rebbe seems to indicate that that's not our working assumption. The working assumption is we hope, we pray, we believe, we sing, right? But we don't know. And it doesn't seem to happen. What?
But we drink wine.
But we drink wine. So some Mefarshim say that Rebbe just disagrees with all these Tanaim. That in a Hanami, there's literally a machlokas, whether or not, it's fascinating, whether or not Klal Yisrael should comport themselves on a halachic level based on the assumption that the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt at any moment, or whether or not they should comport themselves on a halachic level based on the reality in front of it. Some say that's just a machlokas tanoim. And there are other possibilities, right? The possibilities that maybe circumstances can be addressed based on particular circumstances could be addressed based on the possibility that the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt at any moment, right? And that's a healthy approach to ensuring that that Tzipisali Yeshua is an active, manifesting dimension of our religious life. How we look at Shavuos, how we look at the Beitza, all sorts of other different takanas. But when it comes to a takana that's going to impact a person's lifestyle, so there, Chazal were very, very particular to what degree they allow Churban Bayis to puncture our normative living experience. And that's the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara says that after the Churban and Bayis, many people wanted to stop eating meat at all. Many people wanted to stop, and you know, basically, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along and said, you know, then stop drinking water, because they used water in the Beis Hamikdash. Then stop breathing air. They breathe air in the Beis Hamikdash. What do you know? And he basically comes to the conclusion that to not mourn at all, any yachol, you can't do that. To mourn everything, you're going to incapacitate yourself. So he said, Chazal were very particular. They said, when you build a house, you should leave a little bit open. When a woman adorns themselves with jewelry, they should leave a little bit less. We have the Efer Makla from the wedding. Basically, what Chazal did is they took situations that were part of the normal experience of moving life forward, and they said, don't forget, we're moving forward, but we're doing so with our consciousness that there's no Beis HaMikdash. But to go ahead and stop eating meat entirely because there's no Beis HaMikdash, that they said very explicitly, we're not going to do. So here too, this isn't a form of avelos, understand. This is the opposite, right? This is an avelos of Churban Bayis, Adarabba. This is anticipatory excitement that maybe there will be a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This is part of the positive sentiment. But to embrace that reality in a manner that compromises our normative living, which is that a person should be able to take advantage of the properties of wine, at least somewhere else, then that far Chazal would not go. So therefore, ha'inna kahani chamra kerebi. Anshei mishmar ve'anshei maimin asurim l'saper l'chabeis. The Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Maimid, those that were on deck to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not allowed to take haircuts or to wash their clothes. On Thursday, it was mutar because of Kavod HaShabbos. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Bar Chana, name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kadei Shelo Yikonsel L'Mishmarasem K'Shem Menuvalim. We're familiar with this from Maseches Ma'akatan, that we don't allow them to take haircuts and wash their clothes then, so that when they enter the mishmar, they don't do so like menuvalim, right? They don't walk into the mishmar with messy hair and messy beards, but rather they take care of it beforehand. And since they know they won't have the option to take care of it during, they will go ahead and take care of it beforehand. That's the halacha for Chol HaMoed, right? That we don't shave or do laundry on Chol HaMoed, because Shema Yekanes L'Yom Tov Menuvel. What happens if you go ahead and actually shave on Erev Yontif? So now, what's the story with Chol HaMoed? Now, what could possibly be the problem? So that's a machlokas between the Torah and Rabbeinu Tam, right? Whether or not, once you shave on Erev Yontif, have you basically been mevatel the gzeir? Because, what are you worried about now? So that's a big discussion, and that's a big machlokas Rishonim. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was of the opinion, and even according to the Rishonim that say it's usur, bizman azeh, it would be mutter to shave on Chol HaMoed, because since people shave today every single day, this takana was when people had beards that would be messy. So the takana was on the beard. Today, you can't be misakein on facial hair that didn't exist before Yontif at all. So you shave before Yontif, and now you have stubble on Chol HaMoed. So the Rav held, the stubble on Chol HaMoed, what's the takana? The takana is you should have shaved that stubble before Yontif?
It wasn't there
before Yontif. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik held that you could shave on Chol HaMoed, and that's the sheet of a number of his Talmidim, and or people that do such things. Some people will be makbid, at least on Erev Yontif to go ahead and shave. You'll see Talmidim of the Rav, but Rav Moshe was not of the same opinion. What?
Erev Yontif of the second day?
Yeah. In other words, because there you have the added, you're going, because it's strange, right? In other words, when you have a full beard, so Kadesh Lo Yikonis Liyam Tov Menuvel means you trim the beard. So the beard looks trimmed. It looks trimmed on Erev Yontif of the first days. It looks basically trimmed on Erev Yontif of the second days. Right. But when you're clean shaven, so now the whole takana is a problem, because the whole point of the Isser to shave before Yontif was Shelo Yikonis Liyam Tov Menuvel. Well, now you've created a scenario where by definition you're Yikonis Liyam Tov Menuvel just for the second days, right? For the second days you're Yikonis Liyam Tov Menuvel. The second days is Yontif. So that's why some people would say that even if you're not going to shave during Chol HaMoed, in general, you shave during. But this was a raging machlokas, what to do with this takana and how to handle it. There's a famous Chassam Sofer, Chodesh Asur Min HaTorah. This is a big discussion, but Elu Ve'elu Dibur L'Kimchai. Some people shave on Chol HaMoed. Anche Mishmar, so the Gemara says, that's because Shalei Yikar Sotinu. No. Tanu Rabbanan, so now the Rabbanan asked, well, how often do these people have to cut their hair? So Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom. A Melech cuts his hair every single day. Has to look well-groomed and, you know, representative of Klal Yisroel in a healthy way. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. The Kohen Gadol would shave from Erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos every week. Kohen Hedyon. What about a Kohen Hedyon? Achas L'Shloshim Yom. Once every 30 days. Right? Melech Mistaper B'chol Yom. How do you know a Melech is Mistaper B'chol Yom? Haytaima Amar Rebbe by Zavda Amar Kro. The Pasuk says, Melech B'yof Yom Techzenon. The Melech should be seen in his beauty. Einecha Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. My time. Why that? So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hol Mishmaros Mischadshos Kohen Hedyot Mischadshos. Since every single week there's a new Mishmar that arrives, they should see the Kohen Gadol looking put together. You're the leader of this group. You're the one that's supposed to empower them. You're the one that's supposed to direct them. And when you're, that's what the Rambam says, Tam Chacham's not even allowed to have a stain on their shirt, right? A leader has to manifest a certain put-togetherness, a certain, you know, regalness. And so therefore, the Kohen Gadol had to, you know, have that. Kohen Hedyot Achas L'Shloshim Yom, Kohen Hedyot every 30 days, Minol, and how do you know? Asya Para Para Minazir. So we have a Gzeres Shava. Ksiv Hacha, it says over here, B'Rosham Lo Yigalechu, Para Lo Yishlechu. It says over here that a person should not shave or cut their hair. Upera lo yishachu, they shouldn't cut off the growing. Iksiv hasam, and it says by the nazir, kodesh yiyah, it should be kodesh. Gadol para se'er rosho, and it should allow his hair to grow. Malahalon l'shloshim yom, just shloshim. Avkan shloshim, just like the nazir or stam nazirus. The person says, I'm going to be a nazir. So the Mishnayos tell us that is a nazirus of 30 days. So here too also it should be 30 days. The nazir gufa minolan. How do you know a nazir is 30 days? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Masna, stam nazirus shloshim yom. Stam nazirus shloshim yom. Minolan, how do you know that? Amar kra yihiyeh. It says the word yihiyeh. Right? Kadosh yihiyeh. The gematria tlosan havi. And that's the gematria of 30. Amar le Rapapa Labaye, he says Rapapa Labaye, Vidilma hachi kama rachmano, maybe what the Torah is telling us, lo lirvu klau, that they shouldn't cut their hair at all. So Amar le, that they shouldn't let it grow at all, right? That they should always cut. So Amar le, he says, Iava ksiv lo yishachu pera. If then it would have said, don't allow it to grow. Kedikam amras ashta dechsiv upera, that it grows, lo yishalechu, right? In other words, it's allowed to grow, but it has to be curtailed that it shouldn't grow out of control. So now the Gemara says, well, if we have this whole concept that the Kohanim have to be well-groomed, so look at Yitz, look what he looks like this morning. Nebuch, he called this guy ready for Avodas HaMikdash. Actually, he's pretty well-groomed at the moment, for all those listening online. But we've all seen, you know, Yitz lets it go, right? We all know, right? Shave a little bit, right? So maybe that's a din today also. Maybe he has to keep himself groomed so that if his turn, if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, he can go ahead and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, Masha suyayin bisman bia hu de aser shalo bisman bia shari. Just so the Gemara says, no, it's comparable to the wine issue. Just like by the wine, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash it's aser, and the time that it's not the Beis Hamikdash it's mutter. Avchachanami here too also, his Yitz's haircut regimen does not have to follow based on his mishmar. Then the Gemara says, Vatanya Rebbe Omer. We learned in a Braisa, Rebbe said, Omer ani, I say, Kohanim Asurim Lishtos, Yayin La'olim V'ma Esh Shaknaso Kakoloso. I say the Kohanim should be also to drink wine forever, but what could I do because the Takana no longer exists, because the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. But Omer Abaye, and Abaye would say, Kiman, like who? Can you just grab the door? Kiman Shasu Ha'idna Kahani Chamra. How do we know that Kohanim could eat today? Could the Rebbe like Rebbe? So says the Gemara, after that entire quote, Michlal Yudayim Abayz Derabbanon Asri. So that implies that was the opinion of Rebbe. But the Rabbanon, they held it was Usser. My taima. Why is it aser? Mehera yibane beis hamikdash, because the beis hamikdash could be rebuilt at any moment. Ve'inan kohen aroy la'avoda, and we need a kohen that's roy for avoda v'leka, and we're not going to have one because the kohanim have let themselves go. Mehera yibane hamikdash. So the mafarshim ask, based on this assumption, we have all sorts of statements in Chazal about mehera yibane hamikdash. It's not so, you know, this whole assumption that the beis hamikdash could open its doors tomorrow. We have to ask ourselves, is that really realistic, even in the best case scenario, right? First of all, there are statements in Chazal that, you know, B'tishrei Nigolim, B'Nisan Nigol, right? These Mamari Chazal are only quoted in Nisan, right? Like in Nisan, everybody gets up and they're like, you know, it says that in Nisan we're going to be redeemed, right? No one gets up in Tammuz and they're like, just want you all to know, there's no chance in Nisan we're going to be, right? So, but well, what do you do those? That's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We learned that Gemara in Daf Shavu, right? It's a Gemara. So, what do we do with that? So the Mefarshim discuss the fact that this Mehera Yibane HaMikdash doesn't necessarily refer, the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach could come in one of two ways, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, right? Be'ita or Achishev, right? Be'ita means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sort of decides when it's going to come. Achishena means we can make it happen at any moment. So the Be'ita, that's when the Chazal say that, you know, it's more predisposed to come here as opposed to predisposed to come there. But that doesn't mean that Klal Yisrael can't be worthy at any moment for the Mikdash itself. There's also a big discussion that comes out of this Gemara about how this works with Mashiach altogether, right? Which, what comes first? Melech HaMashiach or the Beis HaMikdash? If Mashiach didn't come this morning, what's the likelihood that we're offering the Tamid Ben Arbaim? We can't offer the Tamid Ben Arbaim, right? Even if Donald Trump got them to remove the mosque from Har HaBayis, right? Let's say he asked nicely, right? So, you know, you still, like, what are you going to do? You're going to build a Beis HaMikdash? Don't you need Melech HaMashiach to build the Beis HaMikdash? So that's actually a fascinating discussion. Do you need Mashiach to build the Beis HaMikdash? So there are stiras in a lot of the Midrashim. Some of the Midrashim seem to indicate that first we build the Beis HaMikdash, and then Mashiach comes.
Build it, they will come.
If you build it, says Morty, they will come. Right? But but there are other makoros that seem to suggest otherwise. I have here the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamot Ulahachzer Malchus Beis David LiYoshna HaMemshala Rishona. The Melech HaMashiach will come. He'll bring back the Malchus Beis David Ubona Mikdash, and he'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Umekabetz Nilcha Yisrael, and he'll get together all of the Nilcha Yisrael. The problem is that the Rambam includes Binyan Beis HaMikdash in the 613 mitzvos. The Asuli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Socham, that's a whole discussion of itself. The Kesef Mishnah quotes a smag. Why is the Rambam quoting a pasuk that has to do with the Mishkan for the Mikdash? That's a whole separate conversation. But the Rambam writes, V'Asuli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Socham, this is the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the Sefer HaMitzvos only includes mitzvos that are Shayach L'Doros. So it sounds like we have a mitzvah right now to build the Beis HaMikdash. Whether we can or we can't, maybe we can't because the political realities. But we have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. There are certain things we could do. You don't really have an issue of Tumah for that stage. You don't need Paraduma because you have Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, and we could really put it up. So is there a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, or do we need Mashiach first? So there are conflicting makoros. So some say that these makoros can be harmonized by understanding that one of two possibilities. One possibility is that the presence of Mashiach bringing the Beis HaMikdash, that's an interventional construction of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if we can't get our act together to build the Beis HaMikdash, so eventually Mashiach comes, even without that. And when Mashiach comes, one of the things he'll do is ensure that we can build the Beis HaMikdash. But, kol zman that Mashiach has not come, we still have an achrayis, we still have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And we could, in theory, build the Beis HaMikdash even before Mashiach comes. It's not a requirement, it's just, in the narrative of Jewish history, it's one of the options. It's possible that that's how it could unfold. That's one of the possibilities. Another possibility entails, there are a lot of different makoros about what exactly is going to happen with this third Beis HaMikdash. Rashi seems to say in a number of places that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to fall out of the sky. Right? You've heard that. The Beis HaMikdash is going to come down and land on Har HaBayis. That also is a little troubling because we have a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So what's the mitzvah? If you can't, you know, I once saw that maybe the mitzvah is to build the gates of the Mikdash. Whatever. So so how exactly does this work, the interplay between... So some suggest that there are actually, it's not that there are two different ways it can happen, but there are multiple stages. Stage one is phase one of construction. And that is basically building the Beis HaMikdash that is described by David and Shlomo and the original plans of the Beis HaMikdash. That we could all do. We don't need Mashiach to do that. That we could all do. We could do that tomorrow. There's another floor, there are certain things we would not be able to completely figure out. So we don't have an Urim V'Tumim. There are certain aspects of the menorah we're not sure about. Right? There are certain things we wouldn't be able to figure out. So phase one is you build the Beis HaMikdash to the best of your ability. Phase two is then Mashiach comes and he clarifies all the things that need to be clarified and also allows us to actualize the Nevuos of Yechezkel, which have all sorts of other elements of the Beis HaMikdash that we don't entirely understand, right? There are all sorts of Nevuos and Yechezkel about the Beis HaMikdash. Who's going to know how to do that, right? They're going to have to bring in all the seminary teachers, right? All the women who probably know Yechezkel, right? And they'll have to tell us what exactly is going on over there, right? But then then phase three is when the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, which is sort of a more spiritual, kind of sanctity of a Mikdash, descends to earth, and that becomes not just the Beis HaMikdash of the Serusa de Latasa, not just the Beis HaMikdash that humanity brought to the world, but that becomes sort of the connection that allows the Mikdash to become this portal between the terrestrial world and the heavens and create the actual presence of the Shekhinah of Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. Just because we build the building, even though it means, and they will come, it could be that he won't, that God won't come, right? In other words, that we can't effectuate, it's not necessarily true that just because we put up that building, that automatically there'll be a Shekhinah in that building. You have to be roi for that Shekhinah in the building. You need redemption for the Shekhinah to manifest itself in the world today. So that part you need Mashiach for. So three stages. Build the Beis HaMikdash, so that they're working on that in the old city, right? They're building the Kelim, and they're building their plans. Some of those plans are interesting, right? Rav Ariel, right? Build the building, then Mashiach comes, be Mesakin, and that's why they quote from the, I think it's Rav Diskin, from the Musaf. V'har'enu b'vinyano, v'samchenu b'sikuno. Right? In other words, first you make the binyan, and then there's the tikkun. The tikkun, that comes through the word of Mashiach. Right, so he's a little more, right, that comes from the word of Mashiach. B'nei v'ischa kibarchila, first we build the building like it was, v'chonein mikdoshicha al mechono. And then a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and he, infuses that mikdash with all of its corrections. Chaim, you have a question?
How could they build anything if they don't know how long an Amar is?
Oh, so that's going to have to, that's part of what you're saying, that we already have that machlokas. We can't even get off the ground.
Anything.
Yeah. So that, we would have to put together, for that to happen, we would have to paskin the Amma. We would have to, Klal Yisrael would have to paskin the Amma. How would we do that? We could do that. We could do that. If we got together enough people, we'd have to get all the rabbis, forget it, Mashiach is going to have to come. Chaim's right. We're going to need Mashiach. All right. So that'll be the biggest nace, right? What?
It was just a chasana a couple days ago on the Temple Mount.
There was a chasana on the Temple Mount?
Quiet, very quiet, but it was filmed.
It was filmed. They made a chasana on the Temple. Okay. That's not a kiyum in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but that's an interesting wedding. So that's, so again, back to the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, what's going on? How could you possibly allow these Kohanim not to get haircuts regularly when they're going to have to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, no, they won't. The Beis HaMikdash is not being built tomorrow. Right? That's Rebbe. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's Rebbe, but maybe the Rabbanon held that it will be built tomorrow. So Hachas, the Gemara says, Evshar the Mesaper v'ayim. So he says, no, it's very simple. We just moved, what's that guy's name? Nabati. We open him up right over there, right at the entrance to Har Habayis, and we stick him over there, and he cuts everyone's hair. It's not a problem. How long does it take to get a haircut? Right? Buzz, buzz, we're done. Right? Ihachi shasinam yayinami. So the Gemara's habamina is that, but when it comes to wine, wine can take some time to make it through your system. Right? Some people make it through the system quicker than others, but you can't necessarily accelerate that process. So now the Gemara says, nah, of course you can accelerate the process. And the Gemara gives us its hangover recipe. Yeah. Right? Shasui nami nami afshar. The gunny pursa, the ayil. If you tour a little bit, if you walk around a little bit, you sleep it off a little bit. Kedirami bar abba, the amirami bar abba, derech mil v'sheina. If you walk a mil and you sleep, and you add the pickle juice, kol shehu mafiginis ayayin. So that'll help you get rid of the wine. So lav mi itmar lost, the Gemara says, that's not really a solution. Because Amar Rav Nachman bar Abba bar Avua, that only works, elo kishishasa shir revias, if you drink only a revias. Aval shasa yosem revias, if you drink more than a revias, then kol shikain shiderach matrasa v'shein mashkarto. Then actually those moves actually exacerbate the drunkenness. So, if you drink more than a revias, you can't really get rid of the drunkenness. If you can't really get rid of the drunkenness, then that explains why we have a takana that you can't necessarily drink the wine. You can't necessarily drink the wine, according to the Rabbanon, because Shema Yibane Beis HaMikdash, but you don't have to remain eternally groomed, because that can be handled at a fairly quick pace. Rav Ashi Yomar says, Rav Ashi, Shasa Yayin, a different answer, a second answer of why we differentiate between the takana of not allowing Kohan and Bizman HaZeh to drink wine, but we do allow them not to be groomed. Because shasa yayin the machli avoda, the drinking of wine, if you do the avoda while you're drunk, it messes up the avoda. Gazru b'hu rabbanan, so there was a gzeira. But paru e rosh to lo machli avoda. You, the kohen, has a requirement not to be paru rosh. But let's say he is paru rosh, that does not compromise your korban. So lo gazru ba rabbanan, the rabbanan didn't make a gzeira. May sidei, yeah, is that true? That there's no that doesn't mess up the korban? We have a brisa of elu shehem b'misa. This is what will make you die if you're a kohen. Shasu yayin, you drink wine, you do the avoda pori rosh. Or you do the avoda with pori rosh without a haircut. So the Gemara says if that's true, so then it should be subject to a gzeira. So the Gemara says, Bishul mashasu yayin behed yiksiv. The drinking of wine, we know where the source of that is. Because ksiv behu yayin v'shechar al teisht. It says you can't be intoxicated while you are doing the avoda. El pori rosh minolon, how do you know you can't do the avoda? How do you know that's a chiyuv misa? That seems pretty extreme. The ksiv v'rosham lo yigalechu perlo yishluchu. The pasuk juxtaposes the iser to go ahead and let the hair run wild. It says afterwards, v'yayin lo yishtu. So, kol kohen bivam elachatzer apnimis v'izkesh parua rosh to shasu yayin. Ma shasu yayin b'misa. So we compare paru rosh to shasu yayin, just like shasu yayin is with a misa. Af paru rosh b'misa. So too, letting the hair grow is b'misa. So the Gemara says, umina, so if growing the hair is a misa, you should also be gozer. Right? So the Gemara says, Umina ima shesuya yayin de machli avoda af puri rosh de machli avoda. So then, if shasu yayin is machli avoda, then so too, puri rosh should be machli avoda. Meaning, if both are subject to misa, it would make sense that both also pasal the avoda. So there are two girsas in the Gemara now. One is the girsa of Rashi, where the Gemara ends with a question. It's unresolved. It's a good question. Why we don't make the Kohanim go ahead and groom themselves? After all, it should be a gezeira, since at the end of the day, we're worried about Misa. We should be worried about possibly the Avoda, and we should do this gezeira. The other girsa is the girsa here in the parentheses. The Gemara says, "Lo ki iskish lamisa hu de iskish." When we compared it for Misa. Lechuli Avoda lo iskish, and you can understand. But when it comes to passing the avoda, we don't compare them. So you can understand why that's a little uncomfortable, because it would almost make more logical sense to say the opposite, right? In other words, if you're comparing them with respect to killing him, So presumably the psul of the avoda would be. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, says Ravina le Ravashi, Hamakami de Asi Yechezkel. So Man Amra, this makar is all from Sefer Yechezkel. What happened before Yechezkel? So Amar le Tamecha, according to your reason, Hod Amar Rav Chizda, that Rav Chizda said, that we have many statements about many mitzvos that we didn't learn from the Torah Moshe, but we learned from Divrei Kabbalah, we learned from Navi. After all, you're not allowed to have somebody who's an Orel, who's uncircumcised, be part of the Avodah and the Mikdash. What are you going to say before Yechezkel? What did they do before that? Ella, this is a whole distortion in how the Masorah works. Gemara Gamir La, V'as Yechezkel, Smach L'Kra. There is a Torah Shebichtav that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and there was a Torah Shebal Peh given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That Torah Shebal Peh is an oral tradition of all these halachos L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. What happens afterwards is simply an attribution of that extant Masorah to a particular text. And that's part of the corpus of Torah Shebaal Peh as well. And so therefore, Yechezkel is simply an asmachta. It's not the source. The source is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So here too for our din, it's not the source. The source is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's just echoed in Yechezkel. Hachanami gemara gamir la v'as Yechezkel v'asmachta kra. Okay, then the Mishnah said, kala kosu megillas tanis lo mispa lufanov asur la'acharov mutter. Right, so we said anything that it says in Megillas Tainus of all these holidays that we celebrate that don't have hesped beforehand, have delola misped lefanov, that you don't make a hesped before aser laacharov mutter, right? Beforehand, the day before, you can't make a hesped. The day after, laacharov mutter. Tan rabban. So we learned in our bottom. Olin yomaya. We have days here. Delola isanim behun that you cannot fast. Umiktsa usan. And some of them, the lo misbid b'hum, that you also can't make hespedim. Mereish yachad in Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, v'al timnaya bay, until the eighth day of Nisan. Iskum timida. That is a day, those are days, those, that beginning of Nisan, those are days that we don't fast. Why are those days we don't fast? Because those are the days that the Prushim and the Tzdukim were arguing about how we should fund the Karban Shel Tamid, because after all, the Karban Shel Tamid, certain psukim seem to indicate ta'aseh, that it should be funded by an individual. Other psukim seem to indicate it should be funded by the tzibor. The prushim are under the opinion that it should be funded by the tzibor. They fought this out for 8 days, and they finally won. And therefore, that's a that those are days of celebration. Lo lemisped b'hon mitimnaya ad sof modaya isov chaga deshvuaya. And we also don't have hespedim from that eighth day till after Pesach, because those are the days that we clarified when the real date of Shavuos would be. The Tzdukim wanted it to be Mimokras HaShabbos, always counting Sfiras HaOmer from Sunday, and the Prushim understood Mimokras HaShabbos referred to the second day of Yontif. That was clarified during that period of time. That victory for Rabbinic Judaism and the authentic expression of Torah Shebaal Peh is worthy of celebration. The law misbehun Amar Mar Mereish Yachad in Nisan Atim Nayaban Iskum Tamida. The law misbeh. The law misbehin. Lamali Mereish Yachad Lamel Mitrei Benisan. So why do you have to include Rosh Chodesh Nisan in this calculation? Rosh Chodesh Kuvei Yom Tovu. Rosh Chodesh is on the list. It's already a Yontif. You're already not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. You're already not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. Why do you have to tell me that because of this fight they didn't fast from Rosh Chodesh to the end? We already have Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Amarav lo nitzcha el lesser yom shalafanov, because since it's on the list of Megillas Tainis, it also gets an Isser Tainis the day before. Shalafanov nami take away the havila yom shalafnei Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh is not worthy enough of having an Isser Tainis the day before. So the Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh daraisa hu, vidaraisa boy chizuk. Dina daraisa, people are conscientious of, they don't need a pre day of Isser Tainis. Titania Yom Ma'ela Aksum Megillas Tainis Lifnei V'Achrayim Asurin. These days are written Megillas Tainis. Before them and after them are Asur. Shabbosos V'Yomim Tovim. Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim. Hein Asurin. Those days are Asur. Lifneiam, but the days before the Acharayim, the days after Mutarim are Mutar. Uma Hefresh Bein Zeh LeZeh. What's the difference between these and those? Halalu Divrei Torah. These Shabbos and Yontif are Divrei Torah. V'Divrei Torah Ein Srichin Chizuk. Halalu Mada. I'm sorry, and Divrei Torah don't need chizuk. Halalu Divrei Sofrim and Divrei Sofrim tzrichim chizuk. And there's obviously extensive discussion. Sometimes we look at Dine Doraisa and say, what are you talking about? They need much more chizuk. And when it comes to Dine Drabanan, Shvus to Shvus, you know, we have many more kulas. So this has to do with the construct of Dine Drabanan. Certain Dine Drabanan that are instituted to protect Doraisas, their nature of that Din Drabanan is different than a Din Drabanan that was instituted based on a Drabanan Dika experience that they were trying to create in and of itself. When the Rabbanon were, I use this word very cautiously, when the Rabbanon were protecting, that's not the cautious word, so then that doesn't need more extensive protection. When the Rabbanon were innovating, then that needs more caution, because there people are less likely to take it seriously, because, you know, who are you to decide what to do? And so therefore, we have more gezeros. Okay.
How many people
No.